بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون. الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد. ولا أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. واللانة الدائمة الباقية لأعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم وغاصب حقوقهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: قل لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربى، ومن يقترف حسنة نزد له فيها حسنا، إن الله غفور شكور. صلوات الله. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His blessings on all of you. In Toronto for us, this is the first test of winter going to come now. And your presence here is, inshallah, to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we also pray for those who are watching us online in the comfort of their homes. That's fine. We pray for them also. Salawat upon the Barab. With the tabrikat and Mubarak Badi on this very important occasion in our calendar, after the aza and grief on Sayyid al-Shuhada during the month of Muharram and Safar, tonight we are celebrating Eid al-Zahra salawatullah alayha. Which is kind of a closure to the season of Aza. It's not that we are doing al-Wida in a sense that we are not going to remember if Imam Hussain alayhi salam. No, he's there, part of our life, you know, for the whole year. But especially the special ceremonies that we had during Muharram and Safar now will be coming to the closure. And historically, when we talk about the 9th of Rabiul Awwal, this is the day when Umar ibn Sa'd, the commander-in-chief of the Yazidi forces in Karbala, was killed by Mukhtar bin Ubaidullah Saqafi in Iraq in the year 66 after Hijrah. So we are talking about almost 5 years after the events of Karbala. And when this news of Umar ibn Sa'd's end came to Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam, according to the narrations, Imam expressed his joy and happiness on hearing that news. And according to some of the narrations, that the women of Banu Hashim, after 5 years actually, where they had, you know, not even used the cosmetics or be, you know, going into the state of normalizing their life, it's only after these 5 years that they allowed themselves to get back to the normal routine of interaction with the people. And so for us, you know, this is a happiness which is linked with the happiness of Imam Zainul Abidin and the Ahlul Bayt. Just a very brief point which I would like to repeat here. I said it before, that why do we call it Eid al-Zahra? You see, the companions of Imam Hussein are known as Ansar of Hussein in the Ziyarat Warisa. And when we address him, we say Salam on Ansar of Hussein. Then we say Salam on Ansar of Hassan. Maybe some of them had not even seen Imam Hassan, but we still, you know, declare them as the Ansar of Hassan. And then we say Ansar of Fatima Zahra, Ansar of Ali, Ansar of Rasul, and Ansar of the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where you look at the cause. They might not have seen Rasul or Ali or Fatima or Hassan. They are all Ansar of Hussein, but they are also being considered to be Ansar of Hassan and Fatima and Ali and Rasul, and the Ansar of the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, when we talk about the happiness and farhat of Imam Zainul Abideen, you know, that happiness of Imam Zainul Abideen is the farhat of Imam Hussein. It is the happiness of Hassan. It is the happiness of Fatima al-Zahra. And therefore, in a symbolic sense, we call it Eid al-Zahra Salawatullah Alayha. Salawat Barnaik Barah. We have to realize when we talk about these concepts of sadness and joy, you know, these are all linked to this concept in the Quran about the low for the Ahlul Bayt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Shura, Surah 24, ayat number 23, actually Surah number 42, ayat 23, where He says that, O Muhammad, say to your followers, I don't ask for any compensation or reward for the work that I had done in conveying the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, illa al-mawaddata fil qurba, except that you love my family members. And this issue of loving the family members is so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then describes that by saying, man yaqtarif hasanatan, and whoever acquires a good deed, referring to the mawadda of Ahlul Bayt as a good deed, as a hasana. Whoever acquires the hasana, nazid lahu fiha husna. We will increase that goodness. Inna Allah ghafurun shakur. Allah is all forgiving and thankful. It's probably the only place, I haven't checked it, that Allah describes Himself as shakur. He is thankful to the ummah for rewarding Rasulullah by loving the Ahlul Bayt. Salawatullah alayhim ajma'in. Salawat pranik barak. And how does this mawadda or hub and love manifest in our life? It reflects by ourselves, you know, relating to the history of the Ahlul Bayt. When we look at the events, those which are related to happiness, you know, we celebrate them. And whatever is the matter of, you know, sorrow for them, this is where we feel this sadness within ourselves. This is one manifestation of mawadda and love. There is a statement in Tuhuful Uqul, one of the famous narrations, compilation of the sayings of the Masumeen, where Amirul Mu'mineen describes his Shias, where it's a long passage, but in one sentence there he says, Shi'atuna yansurunana. Our Shias are those who help us. وَيَفْرَحُونَ بِفَرْحِنَا, and they are the one who rejoice in our happiness. وَيَحْزُنُونَ بِحُزْنِنَا, and they grieve in our sadness. So the reflection of love and being the Shia and follower of Ali is that when there is farh for Ahlul Bayt, we also are happy. When there is huzn for Ahlul Bayt, we are also sad. And these sentiments, you know, these feelings, sadness and happiness, these are very natural. I don't think that anybody can dispute that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created these feelings in our nature. And based on these, you know, feelings, we grieve and mourn the tragedy of Karbala during Muharram and Safar. And when we come to this day, 9th of Rabi al-Awwal, we rejoice the day which brought happiness to Imam Sajjad on hearing the death of Umar ibn Sa'd, you know, as I said, and especially the reaction of the women of Banu Hashim after hearing that news. Salawat Barnaik Barah. Salawat Barnaik Barah. Since both these elements of grief and happiness are related to the concept of love, Let me address a question which, you know, in some of the forums has lately come up, especially during the Ayyam of Aza, that should Ashura be a day of celebration or a day of mourning? And the way it's put is interesting. You know, they say, well, since the Shahadat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam was a victory for his cause, what was involved there? Yazid was demanding from Imam Hussain to do bayat. And in that encounter in Karbala, Imam refused. He refused to pledge allegiance to Yazid, even though he lost his life. So who achieved the purpose there? Yazid didn't really achieve anything there. Imam gave up his life. You know, but he stood his ground. And this is where, for example, you know, one of the, I think it's Allama Iqbal describing Imam Hussain alayhi salam, where he says, Sardar dast nada dar dast Yazid. Hussain gave his head, but he didn't give his hand in allegiance to Yazid. Haqqaq bina ila ilaha as Hussain. Indeed, the foundation of La ilaha illallah is Hussain and his shahadat. Salawat pranay kbara. And so some people then they say, if this is the case, Imam, you know, this is a victory for him. And it's a failure for Yazid, no doubt about it. So Ashura should be the day of celebrating Hussein's victory or not, and not mourning and grieving. Let me say one thing. Sometimes, you know, we come up with ideas, we start discussing, we think, you know, we really have discovered something nobody before us knew about it. Now, this question whether Ashura should be celebrated or commemorated, whether you should have joy on that day for the victory of Hussein, or should you mourn the tragedy of Karbala on the day of Ashura, this is not a new question. During our own time, about 50 years ago, Shaheed Murtaza Mutahiri, in one of his writings on the concept of Shahadat. Actually, when I came to Vancouver in 1983, just the year after that, in 1984, we came up with a compilation of some of the articles, my own and others, including where I had even the translation which I did of Shaheed Murtaza Mutahiri's article on Shahadat. He also actually talks about this issue, that there are some people who say, why don't we celebrate the event of Ashura? You know, because it was a victory for Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And Shaheed Murtaza Mutahiri has his own way of explaining things. I would like to summarize his discussion on this issue. He says, remember, when you talk about Shahadat and martyrdom, there are two different perspectives, two different angles that you can look at the Shahadat. One is the individualistic and martyr's perspective of Shahadat. From the perspective of the Shaheed, you know, Shahadat is indeed the greatest achievement. You know, and it fulfills two important desires of the awliya and the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, once you attain Shahadat, that is the highest of the good deed. There is nothing above it. In some of the ahadith, we are told, whatever good deed you do, don't say this is the end of it. There is something you can do even better, except when it comes to Shahadat. Not only because you cannot even do anything after that anyway, but because you actually are giving up the most precious thing that Allah has given to you, and that is your life. And you are giving that in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is no khair and hasana above the issue of Shahadat. And when you go through Shahadat, a Shaheed is basically assured that he will certainly attain a lofty status in the Akhirah. And so when we look at it from the individualistic martyr's perspective, Shahadat indeed is a victory. It is fawzan azim. It is the greatest achievement that a person can have. And therefore you will see, for example, when Ibn Muljim struck Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam, what did he say? Fustu wa Rabbil Ka'bah. What does that mean? By the Lord of the Kaaba, I have indeed succeeded. You know, because he knew, and he has said this many times, that death is eventually. Nobody can run away from it. Even Rasulullah had to go through death. But he was saying, I would rather prefer, you know, go through this process of death by the path of Shahadat and not die on the bed. And so for him, this was indeed, when he says, Fuztu, I have indeed achieved success by the Lord of the Kaaba. And so for him, Shahadat was a matter of, you know, achievement and victory. Even Imam Hussain alayhi salam, in one of his statements when he was going to Karbala, he says, I think this was probably when he was talking to Muhammad Hanafiya, where he says, my grandfather said to me that, O Hussein, Allah has reserved a very high position for you in his view, which can only be attained by martyrdom and shahadat. So for Hussein ibn Ali, shahadat was the most desirable wish and utmost, you know, perfection for him. And so this is the individualistic, you know, martyr's perspective about shahadat. And so if you want to talk about happiness and celebration, that's where you should be thinking about. But then you look at it from this, and this is where Shaheed Mutahiri then comes to the second perspective. Different angle of looking at shahadat. He says from the social point of view, from the perspective of the people. Can I request the brothers to move on this side more, please? And so when we talk about the second perspective of, as far as martyrdom and shahadat is concerned, you know, he talks about this issue that from the perspective of the people, the very first thing is that what were the circumstances which resulted in the shahadat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam? And what did generate later on? And this is where we talk about the relationship of the shaheed with the people of the time. And this relationship is of two types. When it comes to the people who loved him, especially when we talk about Imam Hussain alayhi salam, for them, his shahadat is what? Their wish would be that we wish that he would be alive, so that we can benefit from him, from his presence and his guidance. But because of the shahadat, now we have been deprived of that opportunity. And as far as other group in the society at that time who caused this corruption, which ended up in the tragedy of Karbala, these are the people who basically for them, you know, shahadat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam would be a different, you know, spin to it. And naturally, from the social point of view, the enemies who caused about the shahadat of Imam Hussain will be rejoicing. But the friends of the shaheed, who have been deprived of his person and guidance, will be grieving. So from the perspective of the society, there are two groups. Yes, one will be celebrating those who caused the shahadat. But those who feel the loss of their imam, his presence and his guidance, they will not be celebrating, they will be mourning and grieving. Salawat parna ek bar aur. And so he ends by saying that, you know, this whole process of azah, mourning and grieving, lamenting for the Shaheed is actually, you know, a reflection of what they have lost as far as a guide like Hussein ibn Ali is concerned. And this is where, you know, those who go through that grief, it forces them to reflect on the causes of Shahadat. Why did it happen? And if they can really get in touch with the spirit of the movement of Hussein ibn Ali, they will work in their own circles, in their own societies, during in their own time, to make sure that those kinds of circumstances do not take place again. This is because they are going through this process of, you know, grief and mourning. And on a personal level, it will actually help them to think about it. That I don't want to be, in my character and belief, like those who caused the Shahadat of Hussein ibn Ali. And so when we talk about this element of huzn, this is very powerful. And let me, you know, end with this direct quotation from Shaheed Murtaza Mutahhiri, where he says, it is from this aspect, where he talks about, you know, Aza as, you know, lamenting for the martyr means participating in his enthusiasm, harmonizing with his spirit and moving in his direction. And then he says, it is from this aspect that we should study whether celebration, merrymaking, dancing and drinking are the means of participating in the enthusiasm of the Shaheed or lamenting for him. In the state of weeping, one feels more united with his beloved. Laughter and merrymaking mostly has a personal, individual aspect, whereas weeping and lamentation mostly has an aspect of self-denial and uniting with the beloved, where you don't think about yourself, you more think about the Shaheed. In other words, he says, laughter is like sexual passion, whereas weeping is like love. And there is a very clear difference between the two. Salawat Mirna Ikbarao. So it's not only just 50 years ago that this question came up. The Shaheed Mutahhiri had to respond to it and give an explanation about it. You know, even 7 centuries ago, you might have heard the name of a famous alim known as Sayyid ibn Ta'us. Sayyid ibn Ta'us was one of the descendants of Sheikh Tusi, and very much, you know, expert in the books on dua and ziyarat. Many things have survived from him as far as his works is concerned. So we are talking about 7 centuries back. He has a book on the events of Karbala. And in the preface there, he talks about this issue. So this is not a new issue. You know, he says, وَلَوْلَا امْتِثَالُ أَمْرِ السُّنَّ وَالْكِتَابِ. He says, if it hadn't been for the command of the sunnah of the masoom and the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to put on the clothings and the actions and this issue of mourning and grieving on the tragedy of Karbala, if I was alone without these ahadith of the masumeen and this instruction of the Quran or the philosophy of the Quran, I would have celebrated the day of Ashura as a victory of Hussein ibn Ali. So it's nothing new, you know, that sometimes people think about it. They think we have come with very creative, revolutionary idea. Baba, these are all old things. You know, chabai hue luqme, iska hal bahut pehle ho chuka hai. Salawat mein ek baar aur. He says, this is where, you know, we came to realize that it is in the clothing of mourning and in the shedding of the tears and in making our eyes, you know, flow the tears and the crying. This is where we get the thawab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala And this is what has been recommended by the Imams who came after the events of Karbala. So let me conclude this part of my talk here, that when a Shia feels sadness on the Shahadat of Hussein ibn Ali, he becomes emotional. When you become emotional, when you cry, you know, even our in personal tragedies, if somebody loses somebody who is very close, you know, people, especially the old people who have seen life and they observe the human psychology, they say, you know, make this person cry. Because when a person who has lost somebody else, when they go in shock, you will see they're sitting there. You know, no weeping is there. They said, make this man or woman cry. Because when they cry, this is where they will be able to have this sense of closure for their loss. It has an impact on their psychology and on their health also. And so when we cry for Imam Hussain alayhi salam, we become emotional. Our hearts, you know, symbolically, you know, become soft. And then we are better able to imbibe the message of Hussain ibn Ali. And this state and this conclusion or benefit that we get in azan, you cannot attain that if you were being celebrating on the day of Ashura, the victory of Hussein, by eating biryani and having sharbat on that day. What happens in Christmas here? Does that increase their spirituality? Do they get closer to the values of Jesus? No. It has become a social event. It is just, you know, merrymaking, becoming happy, and that's it. And this is where we have to realize that this issue of, you know, aza and huzn and gham, this is actually in line not only with the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, but also helps us in understanding and imbibing the message of Hussein ibn Ali in a better way. Salawat on Iqbala. So the mazhab of Ahlul Bayt is based on this concept of hub. There are two concepts that Allah has, or the feelings that Allah has created in our hearts. And which are there? Both of them are there. One is known as hub, love, and the other is known as bughd, which is hatred. Although we don't like the word, but it is there. It is a reality whether you accept it or not. You know, and this is where we have to realize that it all boils down to this issue whether the love and hatred is for the sake of the truth or not. If you say you don't like this person because he comes from this qabila and race, or this color, or speaks this language, or he comes from this social, you know, background, these are all wrong kind of, you know, sentiments. But if it is based on the issue of haqq, then this is part of the nature. When we talk about the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love for Rasulullah, the love for Ahlul Bayt, you know, this is where we have to realize you cannot then have in your heart a soft corner for the opposite. You cannot say, I believe in Allah, but you know, Ram and Krishna is okay. Either you're here or there. You can't be here and there also. It's clear. And this is where we have to realize, you know, I'm just giving a very obvious example, you know. I'm not talking about this issue of, you know. So we don't mix things. When we talk about Rasulullah, he is the Rasul. When we talk about the Ahlul Bayt, we cannot say, like some people say, well, you know, Ali is our spiritual leader, first Imam, and so is our political first Imam. There's a new thing coming up among some of the Sufi Pakistanis. You can't have both, because there is a lot of contradiction between the two. And this is where we have to realize that even Quran talks about it. When you look at Surah Ahzab, there are two ayats which are side by side. The first one says, "Inna Allah wa malaikatuhu yusalluna ala nabi, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima." Everybody knows, I don't have to translate this ayat. But immediately after that, the ayat goes on to say, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. The first one is a prayer for Rasul. And the way he has taught includes Ali Rasul also. And the second ayat is saying, those who hurt Allah and His Rasul, how can you hurt Allah? But this is what is the ayat is saying. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Allah sends His la'an. La'an means depriving them of the mercy. In this dunya and the akhirah, وَعَدَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. And He has prepared for them a very serious azab in the hereafter. So you have this dua for the barakat and rahmat of Allah on Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. And then you have the ayat about baddua. Baddua and bad dua is the same thing. One is Urdu, the other is English. Salawat is dua. Allahumma. The other one is basically when you talk about la'anahu Allah fi dunya wal akhirah, this is baddua. One is benediction, the other is malediction. And they go hand in hand. Actually, if you look at this banner here, that is the ayat which has been written there. Salawat pranay parar. Salawat pranay parar. And therefore, in Ziyarat al-Waris, what do you recite there? That may Allah deprive qawman, may deprive the people from His mercy, those who have qatalatka wa zalamatka, those who killed him physically who were there. Those who brought about those circumstances, they might not be there physically, but they were involved in killing Hussein. And even those who heard about it, even if they come centuries after the events of Karbala, but they are pleased with it. They are pleased with what happened to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is where we have to realize, you know, you can't just have a, you know, oh, we believe in Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we'll do everything. But when it comes to Yazid and Umar ibn Sa'd and Hurmala and Ibn Ziyad, well, we leave, you know, Allah will decide on them. We don't say anything about it. Then don't recite this ziyarat. And this ziyarat is not from an alim, not from a marja. People don't like them anyway these days. This is from a masoom imam, from Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam. Salawat from the Quran. At least on ziyarat al-Waris, there is no dispute, huh? That is authentic or not. And it is there very clearly. And so when we talk about this issue, we have to realize, you know, there are this concept of hub fillah wal bughz fillah. Love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to disassociate with someone for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, there is a statement from the 11th Imam where he's quoting a hadith of the Prophet where he talks about this issue. That is important to realize that you cannot attain the vilayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless you have this issue of hub and bughz. Fillah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa in kathura salatuhu wa siyamuhu hatta yakunu dhalik. Even if you say, do so many prayers and fast for so many, you know, years, if you don't have this concept of hub fillah and bughz fillah, it doesn't mean anything. And so this person asked Rasulullah, فَكَيْفَ لِي أَنَا أَعْلَمُ أَنِّي قَدْ وَالَيْتُ وَعَادَيْتُ فِي اللَّهِ. How would I know? Give me some example. How would I know that I have really loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, loved for sake of Allah, and disassociated myself from someone for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that I can, you know, follow that person, love that person, or disassociate from the other. فَعَشَارَ لَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَىٰ عَلِيٍّ. Rasulullah pointed towards Ali and he told him, أَطَرَى هَذَا. Do you know him? He says, yeah, I know him. And this is where Rasulullah says, وَلِيُّ هَذَا وَلِيُّ اللَّهِ. Whoever follows him is a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَوَالِهِ. So love that person. وَعَدُوُّ هَذَا. Whoever is the enemy of this person, عَدُوُّ اللَّهِ, is the enemy of Allah, فَعَادِيهِ. You know, disassociate from him. Salawat upon the Prophet. You know, sometimes we don't want to talk about the issue of tawalla and tabarra. We say, you know, you shouldn't be talking about it. These are different times. And it's interesting, you know. You go to this secular liberal society and try to talk positively about Hitler. Will it be acceptable? Or try to diminish or downgrade what he has done? It becomes a criminal case now. For us, you know, when we talk about Yazid, when we talk about Ibn Ziyad, when we talk about Umar ibn Sa'd, when we talk about Hurmala and all these people, you know, these are the Hitlers for us. We can't have any soft corner for them at all. And this concept of tabarra and tawalla, you know, this is their part of Islam. MashaAllah, many of you have gone for Hajj. You know, these days the numbers of Hujjaj is increasing. And may Allah, you know, increase it even more. It is becoming easier. People are more, you know, they can afford more to go for Hajj. But if you have gone to Hajj and you didn't think about it, maybe you should rethink about it and maybe go again. What is the whole process of Hajj? Hajj is remembering the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The willingness to give up your life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tawalla. But remember, before you reach to that point where you follow the sunnah of Ibrahim, there are certain steps that you have to take. First, you go from Makkah to Arafat. You have to increase your awareness about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by, for example, reciting and understanding the dua Arafah of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And you come to realize the majesty and the power and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Arafat. Once you have improved your ma'rifat, this is where Arafah, the place is known as Arafat, based on that. Once you have increased your familiarity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you spend the night in Muzdalifah. What do you do there? You pick up pebbles. For what? Next day, you can't say, I'm in Mina, I'll go and do the Qurbani first. That is tawalla. Before that, you had to do tawarra. You use those pebbles to stone the three symbols of shaitan there. Once you have done the tabarra, then you go to the level of tawalla and you do the sacrifice there. So whether you realize it or not, tawalla and tabarra is part of what we do. Whether it is in La ilaha illallah or it is in the Hajj. Salawat upon the Akbar. Once you have reached to that stage and done the qurbani, then you go to Makkah and then you kiss one special stone, which is only one. This is where you realize symbolism is very important there when we talk about Hajj. When we talk about Imam Hussain alayhi salam, let me end with one or two hadiths here. Problem Urdu bhul na jaye, uski taraf jayenge hum. Salawat padhne ek baar aur. Imam Hussain alayhi salam ka ek mashhoor laqab jo baad mein mila hai, shahadat ke baad hum log kehte hain Sayyidush Shuhada. یعنی شہداء کے سردار ہیں وہ. یہ ٹائٹل جو امام حسین کو ملا تھا نیا نہیں تھا. پہلی بار تاریخ اسلام میں یہ یوز ہوا ہے جناب حمزہ کے لیے. شہداء بہت تھے, اسپیشلی احد میں صرف جناب حمزہ شہید نہیں ہوئے تھے. امیر المومنین نے لیٹر میں جو معاویہ کے جواب لیٹر کے جواب میں لکھا تھا, جہاں اہل بیت کی فضیلت کا ذکر تھا, اس میں یہ تھا کہ بہت سے شہید ہوئے اس دن, لیکن جب ہمارا گھر کا ایک فرد شہید ہوا تو اس کو جو ہے سید الشہداء کا ٹائٹل دیا گیا, رسول اللہ نے دیا ہے. اور یہ ٹائٹل چلا ہے یہاں تک کہ واقعات کربلا ہوئے, امام حسین علیہ السلام کی شہادت ہوئی, اور اس کے بعد یہ ٹائٹل جو ہے منتقل ہو جاتا ہے حسین ابن علی پر. جناب حمزہ ابھی بھی سید الشہداء ہیں, لیکن حمزہ سید الشہداء ہیں اپنے دور کے, جبکہ حسین سید الشہداء ہیں تمام ادوار کے. صلوات پڑھ دیں ایک بار. جناب مریم کے بارے میں مثلا خدا نے کہا ہے کہ سیدۃ النساء العالمین, اب جناب سیدہ کے لیے بھی وہی ٹائٹل ہے. فرق یہ کہ مریم جو ہیں سیدہ ہیں اپنے زمانے کی خواتین کی, اور فاطمہ سیدہ ہیں پورے دور کے تمام ادوار کے خواتین کی. تو یہ القاب اپنے جگہ پہ ہیں, لیکن جو اہمیت دی گئی ہے محمد آل محمد کو وہ اپنے جگہ پہ ہے. خود امام حسین علیہ السلام کے لیے رسول اللہ نے ایک جو جملہ کہا ہے, شیخ صدوق نے اپنی کتاب عیون اخبر رضا میں چار نریٹرز کے تھرو, جہاں جہاں نریٹرز بٹوین دی کمپائلر آف دی بک اینڈ دی معصوم امام کم ہوں, اس میں اس حدیث کی سند جو ہے اس کو زیادہ اسٹرانگ مانی جاتی ہے, چونکہ وہ جو نریٹرز بیچ میں ہیں وہ کم ہو جاتے ہیں. چار واسطوں سے شیخ صدوق نے یہ حدیث بیان کی ہے نویں امام سے, جو فرماتے ہیں کہ میں نے اپنے بابا سے سنا, اور یہ سلسلہ جاتا ہے امام حسین تک, جہاں امام حسین کہتے ہیں کہ ایک دن ہم اپنے نانا کی خدمت میں گئے اور وہاں عبی بن کعب بیٹھا تھا, ایک صحابی تھے رسول کے. تو رسول اسلام نے جب حسین کو دیکھا تو کہا مرحبا بکا یا ابا عبداللہ, ویلکم. اب بہرحال وہ نانا تھے, وہ نواسا ہے, ویلکم کریں گے, لیکن اس کے بعد ایک جملہ کہا مرحبا بکا یا ابا عبداللہ یا زین السماوات والارضین. مرحبا, ویلکم, وہ جو آسمانوں کا اور زمین کے زینت ہے. تو عبی بن کعب کو بڑا تعجب ہوا, اس نے کہا کہ یا رسول اللہ, آپ کے علاوہ کوئی کس طرح سے کوئی اور جو ہے آسمان و زمین کی زینت بن سکتا ہے؟ تو اس وقت رسول نے کہا کہ یا عبی, والذی بعثنی بالحق نبیا, اس خدا کی قسم جس نے مجھے نبی کی حیثیت سے مبعوث کیا ہے, ان الحسین بن علی فی السماء اکبر منہ فی الارض, حسین کا مرتبہ آسمان میں کہیں گنا زیادہ ہے بنسبت وہ مرتبہ جو دنیا میں ہے. فانه لمکتوب عن یمین عرش اللہ, معراج کی بات کرتے ہیں کہ جب ہم وہاں گئے تھے ہم نے دیکھا تھا عرش الہی کے رائٹ سائڈ پہ یہ لکھا ہوا تھا کہ حسین مصباح ہدا و سفینۃ نجات. صلوات پڑھ دیں ایک بار. مصباح خدا کا مطلب کیا ہے؟ دی لیمپ آف گائیڈنس. سفینۃ النجات یعنی آرک آف سالویشن. ابھی بھی حسین مصباح الہدا ہیں. بہت کچھ کہنے کے لیے ہے لیکن اس بات کو ہم ختم کریں گے کہ ہمارے مجالس، ہمارے عزاداری کا سلسلہ، یہ سب انسٹیٹیوشن ہے جو حسین نے دیا ہے. اگر شہادت نہیں ہوتی تو یہ مجالس نہیں ہوتے، یہ مجالس نہیں ہوتے تو ہمارے لیے ایک لحاظ سے صدیوں سے یہ ماس ایجوکیشن کا سلسلہ چل رہا ہے. صحیح استعمال کریں یا نہ کریں یہ ہمارا پرابلم ہے، عزاداری کا پرابلم نہیں ہے. اکثر لوگ کہتے ہیں لیکن اس سے کیا ہو رہا ہے، کیا فائدہ ہے؟ یہ پرابلم عزاداری کا نہیں ہے، پرابلم لوگوں کا ہے. انسٹیٹیوشن آپ کو دیا گیا ہے، اس کو صحیح معنوں میں آپ یوز کریں، یوٹیلائز کریں، تو آپ کو اندازہ ہوگا کہ صحیح معنوں میں حسین ابھی بھی مصباح ہدا ہیں. دوسرا عنوان جو رسول نے یہاں بیان کیا ہے کہ عرش الہی کے رائٹ سائڈ پہ لکھا ہے وہ سفینۃ النجات، آرک آف سالویشن. اس کے بارے میں ایک اور حدیث پڑھنے کے بعد ہم حدیث یہ محفل کو ختم کرنا چاہیں گے. چھٹے امام کی یہ حدیث ہے جہاں فرماتے ہیں کلنا سفن النجات، کہ جتنے 12 امام ہیں، آف کورس رسول اللہ تو ہیں سب سے افضل، لیکن جتنے 12 امام ہیں ان کے بارے میں کہتے ہیں کلنا سفن النجات، ہم سب کے سب جو ہیں وی آر آرکس آف سالویشن. ہر امام اپنے جگہ پہ سفینۂ نجات ہے. ولیکن سفینۃ جد الحسین، لیکن میرے جد حسین کا جو سفینہ ہے اوسع، سب سے زیادہ وسیع ہے. جتنے مسافر اس پہ آ سکتے ہیں کسی اور سفینے میں اتنی گنجائش نہیں ہے. وفی لجل البحار اسرع، نہ صرف یہ کہ سب سے وسیع ہے سفینہ میرے جد حسین کا، بلکہ یہ سمندر کے موج میں سب سے تیز چلنے والا سفینہ میرے جد حسین کا سفینہ ہے. صلوات پڑھنے کے بعد، اور اس لیے جب یہ بات ہوتی ہے حسین کی بارگاہ کی، حسین کی مجلس اور حسین کی یاد، یہ یقیناً اس میں وہ کیپیسٹی ہے کہ جو خداوند عالم نے ان کی قربانی کی وجہ سے دی ہے کہ ان کا سفینہ تمام آئمہ کے مقابلے میں سب سے وسیع ہے اور سب سے تیز رفتار ہے. اور جب ہم چاہیں گے اس نتیجے پہ پہنچنے کے لیے جو نجات، جو ہمارا ڈیسٹینیشن ہوئے، تو یقیناً بہترین وسیلہ وہی ہوگا جو حسین ابن علی کا وسیلہ ہے. خداوند اس کے قلیل بعد قبول فرما، ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے، ہماری توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما. خداوند شیعان علی جہاں بھی ہیں ان کو اپنے حفظ امان میں رکھ، تکفیری افواج کی تمام صلاحیتوں کو نیست و نابود فرما، امام کے ظہور میں تعجل فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم.